Thank you, Brad, for leading us in that singing, and Donnie for reading the scriptures, Eddie for leading us in the prayer. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here, and we do have people that have not been here because they've been sick but are back today, and we're glad to see Lorraine and also Annette, as Glenn mentioned a while ago, and we're glad to see everybody. Those of you that are visiting here, we're certainly thankful that you're with us today. Come back and be with us here at O'Neill at every opportunity that you have. I mentioned already before that I'd be speaking this morning upon the subject of the thief on the cross. A lot of people say, I want to be saved like the thief on the cross. And so they go back to Luke chapter 23, and they read how that Jesus told the thief. After the thief had confessed him, the Bible says that he told the thief, thou shalt be with me in today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Here is the reading from Luke. Now let's add to that. In Matthew's account, listen to what Matthew says. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Now who was that? The Bible says here is those that were passing by. They were making fun of Christ. What a terrible thing to be in the midst of people who are ridiculing you. Jesus is up on the cross. And then the Bible says, verse 41 from Matthew's account, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, why, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Can you imagine that? If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. They're making a condition. The condition is, now, if you're really who you claim to be, come down from the cross, and we'll believe you. Why, they said, you trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. And here is one thing that must have gone through the very heart of the Master. Look what the Bible says. And they said, if God will have him. What? He's God's Son. And you're saying, what? If God would have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And one thing that Matthew adds, the thieves, plural also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. One on his right side, one on his left, both thieves, criminals, being crucified now with Jesus. Mark accounts in Mark 15, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments. They cast lots upon them, whatever man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. That was affixed on the cross above the head of the Son of God. And with him, they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was therefore fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by, Mark said, they railed on him. They wagged their heads. They said, oh, thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and we believe. They're making a condition. Their condition is, you do what we tell you, and we'll believe you. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. There's some things I do not know about this man who later changed his heart. One of the thieves upon the cross. I do not know, for example, what his name was. It's not given. It was interesting to read some history on this. And some of the folks in history have written books that actually the one on the right was Demas and the other on the left was Justus. But that's human opinion. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there was one of them that did confess Jesus. There was one that did change his mind concerning that. But I don't know what his name was. I don't know, by the way, how old he was. I have no idea how old he was. I do not know which side the thief was that confessed. Many people say it was the right side. That's human wisdom. That is not spoken of in the Scriptures. And I don't know what the man is guilty of as far as stealing the exact thing that he stole. Yes, and I do not know if the thief had heard Jesus preach. Jesus had preached, remember, and John the Baptist had preached. Jesus certainly was one who had been heard by many. How, if he knew something about his kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, had he heard Jesus preach concerning that before? Or what about the new birth? I don't know. The Bible is silent concerning that. But there's some things I want to start out with this morning to tell you. I know about this thief. And the reason why I know these things is, number one, they're found in the Word of God. I know he admits being a thief. To admit that he is a sinner. Oh, how we need everybody in the world who are sinners to admit that they are sinners. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 15, well, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. And this thief, that it changed his heart. He was indeed a thief. And by the way, he knew something about the kingdom of Christ. Remember, the Bible says, he said to Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Thirdly, he knew something about God. People need to know all about God. To believe in God, we all need to believe in God. Why, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Surely everybody in this audience would say this morning, I believe in God. And this thief believed in God. He knew something about him. And by the way, he knew how to live right from that which was wrong. Isn't that interesting? So many people in the world are doing things they know are wrong, and yet they do them anyway. Why would a Christian ever engage in anything that they know that the Bible condemns? Here was the thief, and this thief knew right from wrong, because he said to the other one, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And by the way, thank God, on the cross, there was a man whose heart was changed concerning Jesus. At first, he along with the other one reviled Jesus. But now, he has a change of heart. Let me tell you, we need to change every heart in the world that is opposed to God. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us need to have the right heart before God. In our families, husbands and wives, with children, all of us need to have good hearts. And when we're wrong, to change our hearts to comply with that which is right. It's kind of unusual. Here's a man that's on the cross. And now then, here's a man that changes his mind concerning the Lord. Now, you remember Saul? Paul, later called Paul. Saul was on his way. And you know what he was going to do? He was going to get every person in Acts chapter 9, the Bible tells us, he was going to get everybody who was a member of the Lord's church, everybody who claimed to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, he was going to get them and help put them in prison while he's going to testify against them. He's on his way, he's busy, 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 and he thinks he's doing the will of God, John 16 and verse 2. Has God said, yes, there will be those who think that they're doing God's service when they kill the disciples of the Lord? But my friend, on the way, something happened. On the way, there was a bright light that shined down from heaven. And there was a voice that said to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? You remember how that the Bible says, how that Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And look what the Bible says. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am Jesus. Wow! What's Saul been doing? Doing everything he can to destroy those who were following the way. Everyone who was following after Jesus Christ, he was seeking to destroy them. Like many people today who do not want to walk with the Lord, they seek to destroy them. Saul was on his way. He thought God wanted him to do this, but he was so wrong. What a circumstance to be in. And then when Saul said, realizing he was Jesus, Saul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And Jesus didn't even tell him other than to say, go into Damascus and it'll be told you what to do. He went into Damascus in Acts 22 when Ananias came to him and he said, and now Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 verse 16. You know what the thief saw that day? Maybe this was the one thing that helped him to change his mind. I want to suggest to you, he saw the friends, the family, who had not deserted Jesus, women who loved the Lord. He looked down from that cross and he could see there were those who were crying. Because they loved Jesus. He could observe, this man has so many who love the Lord. He heard the words of those who crucified Jesus. Those people that were walking by, wagging their heads, making fun of him, laughing at him. Why, if you be the Christ, the Son of God, come down and save us. Yes. He could hear those. And I'll tell you something else he heard. He heard when the Master talked about him as well as everyone who was guilty that day. Yes, the Bible says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine the one that is being killed, crucified, saying to the Father, forgive them. Forgive them? Why? They're the ones that are doing the evil. But Jesus said, they know not what they do. He saw hatred. Those people that were killing him, he saw them laughing and wagging their heads at Jesus. And in his heart, he does something. Number one, we know that he believed that his punishment was just. He knew he was a thief. He would not deny that. He was willing to acknowledge that he was wrong. We also know that this thief knew something about Jesus' teaching, as we mentioned. Think about the man, how he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom. How did he know anything about the kingdom? Friend, he probably knew something. Maybe even some of the teaching. Whatever, I don't know, but I know he knows something. And I know that the Bible says, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Scriptures does not record for us whether the thief had been baptized. We know that John had been baptized in Judea for several years. And the Gospel of John also relates, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized, John 3:22. A little later, John writes, Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, John 4, 1 through 3. A large number of people had been baptized. Nothing is said in the Bible about the thief being among that number. But we know that the teaching had been there. We must also acknowledge the fact that Jesus is called Lord by this thief while he's on the cross. The Bible says, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, the Bible is clear about the power of Jesus. Our Lord had the power, and he used it. He could forgive sins. There was a man that had been laid up on a bed, and these men had carried him on this bed, and they carried him before the Lord. Yes, one who was paralyzed. They carried this man on this bed before the Lord. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus, as he was now speaking to this man to rise up, there he's criticized when he speaks of the sins of the individual. But look what he said. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. No wonder he could say to the thief upon the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And there's something you need to remember about the thief on the cross. He died before the new law came into effect. Yes, the Bible emphasizes for us in the book of Hebrews 9. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, where there is a will, listen carefully. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Yes, it took the death of Jesus. It took his blood to bring about the testament, the New Testament. For a testament is a force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Hebrews 9, verses 15 through 17. All of us understand that language. We're alive. Most of us probably, I hope you have a will made. I don't know how many of you put me in your will yet, but if you want to, you can probably add a little notation there and do that. That'd be fine with me. I wouldn't mind that at all. You can change that. Why? Because you're alive. But when you die, just like my sister last year, on August 13th when she passed away. Boy, her kids have been doing everything they could to follow that will as best they could. You do it, why? That was her will. It became effective when? After her death. And so it is with salvation. How the thief gained salvation prior to the death of Jesus and the beginning of the new covenant does not impact how people are saved now that the New Testament is in force. Let's look real quickly what we find in that New Testament about us who are living this side now of the cross. This side of where the thief had been saved, because the Bible says, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Number one, when we go to Acts chapter 2, 36 through 47, first gospel sermons preached, there's Peter, what is he doing? He's telling these people that they have been guilty of the crucifixion of Jesus. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Why? They were told to. Why? This is now under the new law. This is under the law of Christ. Yes, about 3,000 souls were baptized and added to the kingdom of God. Turn in Acts 8, verses 5 through 15, or verse 13. Here goes Philip. Where does he go down to Samaria? What's he doing? Verse 5, he's preaching Christ. Preaching Christ to these people. Do they believe what he's preaching? Yes. What do they do? Well, the Bible says, then when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Yes, they were baptized. Why? They're under the new law. What does the new law say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Turn in your New Testament, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch. He's writing what happens. Well, he's being taught about Jesus. When they come to a certain water, he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And what was he told? If thou believest that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, thou mayest. And he commanded that the chair be stand still. And he went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Carrying right through in Acts chapter 9, as we mentioned a while ago about Saul. And Ananias came to him in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. How do we know that he did that? Acts 9:18. The Bible says that he immediately arose and was baptized. We learn too about Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, you remember how that Peter commanded them to be baptized. Why did he command them to be baptized? Because the new law was in effect. The new law that applies to everybody since that had been inaugurated. And then Lydia, beautiful name. Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that when she had had the word of God expounded to her, she was baptized with her family. Why was she baptized? There's a new law. That new law is the law of Christ. What does the law say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then what about the jailer? In Acts chapter 16, why, he is responsible for Paul and Silas. And the Bible says that about midnight, there was a great earthquake. Why, all the prisoners... Maybe that's what the Philippian jailer thought. They'd all escaped. But remember what Paul said. Paul said, when the jailer was about to commit suicide, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. What did he do? The Bible says he came, he fell down before them. He says, men and brethren, what shall I do? They expounded unto him. They taught him. And that same hour of the night, yes, he was baptized with his family that had been taught and obeyed. Why? They're under the new law. What is the new law? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There are so many scriptures. Romans 6, therefore we are bare with him by baptism. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for we are by one Spirit all baptized into one body. Galatians 3 and verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 5, there is just one baptism. Colossians 2 verse 12, yes, buried with him by baptism. Titus 3 and verse 5, it's the work of God. And 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, the like figure were even to unto baptism doth also now save us. The thief on the cross did not live. He died that day. But look what Jesus said concerning him. It is, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Friends, I tell you, as I looked and I studied that, can you imagine what it must be like to be in paradise? I want you to remember, never forget it. You don't wait after you die. There's not months and years and all before you go to paradise if you're saved. Jesus told the thief on the cross, thou shalt be with me in paradise today. And he was. That's what's going to happen to everybody in this building. When you die and you're ready, you'll be with all the saved in paradise. Oh, what a wonderful thing to preach. You, every one of us, can be together forever. Yes, all of us are going to die. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die and after this to judgment. Our lives are going by so quickly. I read some things from Brother Sasser in his bulletin. He used this illustration this past week. The human experience that we have, we rush to grow up and then long to be children again. We lose our health to make money, and then we lose our money to restore our health. We think anxiously about the future and forget about the present, so that we live in neither the present nor the future. We live as if we will never die, and die as if we had never lived. What then should we do? Learn we cannot make anyone love us, but we can let others be loved. Learn that it is not good to compare ourselves to others. Learn that a rich person is not one who has the most, but is one who needs the least. Learn that it only takes a few seconds to open profound wounds in persons that we love, but it may take many years to heal them. Learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. Learn that there are persons who love us dearly, but simply do not know how to express or show that feeling. Learn that two people can look at the same thing and see it differently. Learn that it is not always enough that we be forgiven by others, but that they must forgive themselves. Yes, learn that God is always near. On that cross, there was Jesus. On his right hand, on his left hand, two thieves were crucified that day. One of them, he belittled Jesus after they'd been on the cross for a while. But there was one whose heart was changed. One that was told, today you will be with me in paradise. Which one of those men would you change places with? I wouldn't want to change place with the one who berailed Jesus, who rejected Jesus. But if you're in this audience, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you know what God says. Why would you reject it? Don't forget, we're only here for a little while. Some of you put off being baptized. Are you going to put it off too late? Oh, I pray this morning you'll just remember there was one who changed his heart, changed yours, comply with the New Testament. All those people we mentioned who have been baptized, why? That's God's law. If you've reached the age of accountability, obey the gospel, be baptized. If you're a mother, daddy, If you're a father, mother, if you're a son, daughter, husband or wife, the invitation of Jesus is simply this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. The invitation of Jesus is extended to you. What answer will you give the Lord? If you're subject in any way, can we help you? Turn now. Come to Jesus and obey Him. Right now, while together we stand and while